This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We're going to take our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to call your attention to verse 12 and 13, and just want you to be real comfortable. Stretch some. Going to preach about an hour and 15 minutes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10. Look what the Bible says. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. My mother is a lady by the name of Melba Jean. That's her name, Melba Jean. And a paraphrase of Melba Jean of this verse right here, this verse, this is how Melba Jean would paraphrase that verse. Don't you get too big for your britches. That's a good paraphrase of that verse. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Have you ever met people you'd like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth? That's a paraphrase. Okay. Okay, look what verse 13 says. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. One night we was in bed and I said, Barbara, I'd rather die as be unfaithful to you. She said, don't worry. If you are, you will. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way. Folks, if you could see that in the how it was written, it was a passage out of a canyon. It was like you're in this canyon and you can't get out of it, but there's a passage made. God will always make a way to escape. Amen. You say, Pastor, I'm in a mess right now. God will make a way because Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. That you may be able to bear it. I want to talk to you about the devil can't make you do it. The devil can't make you do it. I remember there used to be a guy named Flip Wilson. Does anybody remember Flip Wilson other than me? Yeah, remember Flip? And Flip said this. He said, the devil made me do it. But Flip was wrong because the devil can't make you do it. The devil can't make you do it. One guy said, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't lusted, haven't been greedy, haven't been grumpy, haven't been nasty, haven't been selfish, haven't been overindulgent. I'm doing great, God, and I'm thankful. But God, in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And I'm going to need a lot of help then. I knew I was going to be preaching this message, so I wanted to study the top temptations. What are the things that we're tempted by? And I researched them. Materialism. Number one was materialism. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Amen? Materialism. And then the second temptation was pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, bitterness, sexual lust, jealousy, gluttony, and lying. The temptations that we deal with. Now, I want to say three primary things about temptation. Three main points, and then I'll have some sub-points. The first point I want you to get down is this. Expect it. Expect it. What I want you to understand, folks, is temptation is coming to all of our lives. Look what the Bible says. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Now, God may test you, but God will never tempt you. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I want you to realize that. God does not tempt us. But I want you to understand, from the moment you came to know Jesus Christ, there was a target placed on you. The devil put a target on you. See, we have this happy, clappy movement. It says, once you come to know Christ, everything's peaches and cream.
But I want you to know something, folks, that's not true. Because once you come to know Christ, there's a target on your back. Once you come to know Christ, you're going to be tempted by the enemy. I heard about a guy that came to know Christ, and the devil started tempting him. And he said to his boss, he said, "You know, the devil tempts me all the time." And his boss said, "Well, you know, the devil never tempts me." But that boss wasn't a Christian. And one day they were out duck hunting, and they shot a couple ducks. And one of them was dead. But one of them was flapping still. He'd been hit, but he was still flapping in the water. And he looked over at his boss and said, "Which one you think we ought to go to first?" He said, "Well, let's go to the one that's still flapping in the water." He said, "That's it." He said, "Boss, you're dead. The devil's not bothering you because you're dead. But see, I'm flapping in the water. And that's why he goes to me first." Now, I want you to understand, folks, temptation happens to every one of us. Because, see, there's something you need to realize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this. It says, "Spirit, soul, and body." And that describes you. You're a spirit that has a soul that's housed within a body. See, we have a propensity to think, "Well, I'm a body," and we place all the emphasis on the body. And that's why we get in trouble, folks, and that's why we get things out of balance, because all the emphasis is placed on the body. But you are a spirit that has a soul that's housed within a body. And see, you're going to go through seasons of temptation. When you're young, temptation's primarily going to affect your body. The devil's going to tempt your body. It may be drugs, maybe alcohol, maybe lust. It may be you're a workaholic. It may be you won't work. But either way, it's still your body. But then you'll reach middle age. What's middle age, Pastor? Who knows? But you're going to reach middle age. And I'll promise you, when you reach middle age, it starts affecting your soul. What's your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. When I'm talking about it affects your soul in middle age, let me tell you something, folks. Usually there's four areas that people battle. First of all, they battle the pride of face. They battle the pride of face. The devil will get you so consumed with your appearance. He'll get you so controlled by how you look. We live in a culture where everything is consumed by appearance. Everything is consumed by the outer. Everything is consumed by my size, my weight. And folks, we put so much time concentrating on that. And keep in mind, you're a spirit. You have a soul, and you're housed within a body. But the devil wants you to place all your emphasis on that body rather than on your spirit, rather than on your soul. So we battle this pride of face. That's why the older guy who had false teeth got braces put up on him. To quote the great theologian Dolly Parton, she said, "If I see something sagging, bagging, and dragging, I'm going to nip it, tuck it, and suck it." Why should I look like an old barnyard dog if I don't have to? So it's the pride of face. But then there's a second thing we'll battle. It's the pride of place. And what I mean by the pride of place, we're concerned about our social status. How am I seen? How am I seen? It's the pride of place. Where am I socially? We get 20, we don't care what they think. We get 40 and we're consumed with what they think. We get 60 and we realize they hadn't been thinking about us anyway. It's the pride of, how am I seen? What is my social status?
And then there's the pride of race. Folks, for some reason, we'll have a propensity to think because we're a certain race, we're superior to somebody else. By the way, folks, that's evil at its core. That's evil at its core. No race is superior to any race. God just sees the human race. And folks, by the way, listen, wait. If you say, Pastor, I'm really searching for a church, kind of an elite group where not everybody's accepted. I'm searching for a place like that. Folks, there's 6 or 7 doors out of here right now, so you can just leave. Listen, Rock Springs Church is a place where all people are accepted. Because you're not superior to anybody. You're not superior to anybody because of the color of your skin. The blood of Jesus ought to change every bit of that anyway. And then there's the pride of grace. We're holier than others. We're a part of this group. We're a part of a select churchy group, and somehow we're holier than others. Does the church you go to, are they full gospel? Is there a half gospel? No, I go to half gospel. We're preaching the word of God, folks. But sometimes we can think for some we're a little bit holier. I don't smoke, I don't dip, I don't chew, I don't associate with any who do. I'm a little holier. I do and I don't. And folks, it's not about a do's and a don'ts. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about a do's and a don't. It's not about that. Then there's another phase. That's the old age. What's old? I don't even want to talk about it. But that's where the enemy will attack your spirit. He will attack you with fear. He will attack you with doubt. He will attack your confidence. He'll say you've probably got some disease that you're going to die of. But you're going to run out of money before you run out of life. Old age affects our spirit. Now here's what I want to say to you. Temptation's going to come. Young Christian, old Christian, matters not. Expect it. And then the second thing I want to say to you is detect it. Detect it. See, why I've been preaching so hard for all these weeks on the devil is his strategy has not really changed. His strategy is the same. What he used 6,000 years ago in the garden, folks, he's using with us today. And the reason why he's using it today is because it works. It works. If you go in that garden, I want you to see 4 words in the garden. The first word is desire. Desire. See, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the devil said, eat of that tree. Now, there was nothing wrong with desiring food, folks. There's nothing wrong with them desiring food. But here's what the devil will do. The devil wants you to take what's legitimate and get you to fulfill it in the wrong way. Now, I've lost some of you. But the devil wants you to take what's legit, and he'll want you to fulfill it in the wrong way. Nothing wrong with a sexual relationship. You say, Pastor Benny, you shouldn't mention that. Well, let me tell you something. It's wonderful. It was God's idea. And most of us are here because of it. Amen? But look here. It's wrong when we try to fulfill that desire in the wrong way. It's wrong when we try to fulfill that desire in the wrong way. And God's way is a husband and wife in marriage. See, folks, listen. There's not anything wrong. This morning I washed my face. I combed my hair. There's nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, I've seen some I wish would wash their face, comb their hair, use a little deodorant. This week, Cameron and I were in a church, and a guy was talking to me, and he said, "How did you learn a lot talking to that guy?" I said, "I don't know if I learned a lot, but that guy desperately needs a breath mint." By the way, there's nothing wrong with taking a little pride in yourself, by the way. Nothing wrong. You say, "Pastor Benny, so are you against women wearing? You think it's sin for a woman to wear makeup? It ought to be sin for some not to." Anyway. Nothing wrong, folks, with caring about your appearance. That's normal. But when it becomes vanity, when you're consumed with it, when you take what's legitimate and you try to fulfill it in the wrong way. Nothing wrong with making money. Listen, if a man will tell you he's not interested in money, he'll lie about other things also. But when it becomes greed, it's wrong. You're taking what's legitimate and you're trying to fulfill it in the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with caring deeply about your mate. But when you become controlling, when you become consumed, when you become uncontrollably jealous and your whole identity is in them rather than in you, when it's almost like you're worshiping them rather than worshiping God, you've taken what's legitimate and you've made it illegitimate. So that word, it started out with desire, but look, it moved on to doubt. Look at what the verse says. "Hath God said, ye should not eat of the garden?" Is that really what he said? See, what the devil wants you to do, he wants you to doubt what's really right. That's what he did with her. He got them to doubt what was correct. And see, folks, look, listen to me very closely. There are going to be times in your life that you're not going to know what's right. You say, "I've got so many emotions involved, and I feel this way, and I feel that way," and we've all been there. And when you get there, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to go to the Word of God. And if you're not where you can go to the Word of God, Proverbs 11:4 says, go to godly counsel. Go to godly people and say, "This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm struggling with." Because the devil's creating doubt. I've got all this doubt. This is what I'm struggling with. I don't know what to do. You know, this week I did a video presentation for a couple, 60 years of marriage. And I congratulated them and let them know what they had meant to me, 60 years of marriage. Now look, if I was having marital problems, I'm just being honest with you. If I was having marital problems, and I'm not, I don't think, am I, Barbara? No, I'm not. But look, if I was having marital problems and I'm not, I'd go see that couple. And I'd say, "Help me." Now, I'm not going to see that couple that's been married so many times they've got rice markings on their faces. Amen? So see, here's what the devil will do. He starts out with a desire. He'll get you to try to fulfill that desire, which is legit, in an illegitimate way. He'll move on to doubt. Then you really don't even know how you feel. You're trying to figure out how you feel. But look, folks, then there's a third step, and it hadn't changed. It's deception. Gosh almighty, this is good. Look what verse 4 says. And the serpent said, "You're not going to die." Let me tell you what the devil will say. Nobody will find out. Nobody will find out. It's not that big a deal. Nobody will ever know. But let me tell you something, folks. When you're playing around with sin, it's going to come out. A little sin's like a little pregnant. It will eventually show up. And then the last step. Disobedience. Look what verse 6 and 7 says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now look what verse 7 says. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. You know what's amazing, folks? Look what verse 25 says of chapter 2. And they were both naked and they weren't ashamed. Before they sinned, they were naked and they weren't ashamed. But after they sinned, they were naked and they were ashamed. And what the devil won't show you, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation that will come after you do that. He will never show you that. He'll never show you the guilt, the condemnation, the hurt, the heartache, the disappointment, the anguish that will come after that. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. So here's what I would say to you. How do you handle temptation? Expect it. Detect it. And then the second thing I'd say is reject it. Reject it. Now I want you to understand, Pastor, how can I reject temptation? Let me give you four words and I'm done. Word number one is faith. Word number one is faith. And what I mean by faith, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, let me tell you something. When temptation comes knocking on your door, you better send Jesus to the door. You better send Jesus to the door. And folks, if we get a passion, if we get a passion for Jesus Christ, that's the greatest thing you can do to combat temptation. Let me tell you something. You say, Pastor Benny, I'm tempted with this situation. I'm tempted with that situation. Let me tell you, men, listen to me closely. Listen to me closely, men. The greatest thing a man can do to combat temptation in his life is to fall deeper in love with his wife. To fall deeper in love with his wife. You just work on falling deeper in love with your wife. Because let me tell you something, folks. If you've got prime rib at home, you won't want hamburger meat, amen? Fall deeper in love with your wife. You say, well, I don't care anymore. You did it one time. Get back to what made you love one another in the first place. One guy said, listen, I go with multiple women, and I don't know why I'm on all this today. You never know. You never know what's coming. But anyway, listen, you say, you know why you never know what's coming? Because I never know what's coming, amen? But listen, he said, I've got to go with multiple women. And a guy said to him, let me ask you something. If I walked into a room and you was with a woman, and I offered you $10,000 cold hard cash to stop, would you stop? He said, yes, I would, right there on the spot. He said, that proves something. A greater passion will cause you to stop that. You listen to me closely. A greater passion in your life, a greater passion, a passion for Jesus Christ will cause you to stop whatever's pulling you down. That'd be a good place to clap. A passion for Jesus Christ. So the first word is faith. Let me tell you the second word. It's flight. It's flight. You said, now, explain flight. I'm not going to camp here long, but a little boy was in this country store, and the store owner said, son, are you trying to steal my apples? Because he was staring at him. He said, no, I'm trying not to, amen? I'm talking about flight. You say, what are you talking about? Folks, sometimes you just need to get away. Sometimes, listen, there are people, there are places, there's music, there's people, there's places, there's music, there's environments. Listen, there's programming. that you just need to get away from. The word is flight. When you don't know what to do, run. You said, just don't know what, just get away from it. Amen. Then the third word is fight. You say, what do you mean fight? What do we fight with? The Bible says this in Hebrews. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is all I'm going to say. When Satan came against Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and if you read the scripture close, even Luke alluded to the fact he tempted him 40 days. I went to that wilderness where Jesus was tempted. And I want you to understand something. The way Jesus combated that was with the word of God. And let me say something. You can't combat the devil outside of the word of God. You're no match for the devil outside of the word of God. I'm just going to be real practical. Whatever you're struggling with, you need to find the scriptures that pertain to whatever you're struggling with. Put them in your pocket. Put them on your bathroom mirror. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your automobile. Whatever you're struggling with, put the scriptures around you. You don't throw away all these trinkets. You don't need all those trinkets. You need some thinkets around you. You need some things that are going to cause you to think, and you need the word of God. When I was in Bible college, almost done, but I had a teacher, Dr. Dean Northcutt, and he said, Benny, you give people the word of God. You share a lot of scriptures when you preach. That's why I put scriptures to memory. He said, you need it, but the people need it, because it's the word of God that's going to help the people. Your philosophy's not going to help people. None of that's going to help people. It's what God's word says. Friend, what's going to set you free in your life is the word of God. By the way, that's why when we sing songs about Jesus. We just lift up Jesus. You say, Pastor Benny, it's really not my style. I could care less. We're going to lift up Jesus. We're going to exalt Jesus. We're going to magnify Jesus. We want to lift him up. We're not into style. We're into lifting up Jesus, because he's worthy to be lifted up. We're going to lift up Jesus. And then I'm going to give people the word, because people need the word of God. Look here, folks. This is what Dean Northcutt taught me years ago. He said, Benny, this is your life. He said, see the dirt and impurities in it? I said, yes. He said, that's your life. I thought, has Dean been watching me? But he said, it's not only your life. It's other people's lives. And then he said, I want to give you a verse in Ephesians that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He said, that's the impurities, but the washing of water by the word. And he said, when you take your life with those things that need to be cleaned up and you apply the washing of water by the word, the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. I say the washing of water by the word. And here's the good news. You don't have anything in your life that can't get cleaned up. I don't care how black you look before, it can get cleaned up. I don't care how dirty it looked before, it can get cleaned up. There's power, ladies and gentlemen. There's power in the word of God. The word of God is what changes our lives. Now, I'm telling you, you say, Pastor Benny, my life's a mess. I've got good news. It can get cleaned up because of the word of God, because of God's word. Not too long ago, I went through a hard time. I went through a betrayal. And let me just say this. Let me just make this statement to you folks. And I'm almost done. It's a lie. Listen. Husbands and wives, love one another. You be good to her. You be good to him. Because everything that you're involved in, one of these days it's going to be over, and that's what you're going to walk away with. Let me tell you something. When you're sick, she's the one that's going to take care of you. She's the one going to take care of you. Get 40 years old. Oh, I need a 20-year-old. You're not wired for a 220. She's the one that's going to take care of you. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I know it's from God. But I went through a low time. And I've got a buddy. His name's Jensen Franklin. He's a good preacher. And Jensen got a Bible. And he sent me this Bible. And I hadn't even read the Bible. He's the editor of the Bible. He, of course, didn't write the Bible. But he's the editor of the Bible. And he sent me one of them. I was going through a tough time. And I just went into a room by myself. And I grabbed Jensen, that Bible that Jensen sent me. And I wrote down in the back, Psalms 56 and 9. This I know, God is for me. I wrote down Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I wrote down Romans 8 and 31. If God be for me, who can be against me? I wrote down Psalms 23 and 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I wrote down 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. The battle's not mine, it is thine. I wrote down Psalms 23 and 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I wrote down Psalms 66 and 12 that says, we went through the fire and the water, but the Lord brought us out. I wrote down Psalms 138 and 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. I'm telling you, friend, I believe the Bible. Oh, it is divine. Heaven's golden sunlight in its pages shine. Lights my way to victory. In it I'm relieved. I believe the Bible, for it's ever true. Thank God for the Bible. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. You're no match for the enemy. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Then I want to give you one other point and I'm done. The last point is friend. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm going to say to you. When you're in a struggle, you're going to need people. You're going to need a friend. You're going to need a friend. You say, Pastor Benny, where do you get this thought? James 5 and 16. And I'm confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So what that scripture says, when I pray for you, God does a healing in me. When I pray for you, God does a healing in me. As they play these instruments right now, the Bible says that we need one another. You say, Pastor Benny, I've struggled with temptation. So did Noah. He struggled with drunkenness. Abraham with deception. Moses with temper. Elijah with murmuring. David with immorality. Jonah with a rebellious spirit. Peter with denial. John Mark with defection. Timothy with anxiety. And Paul with arguing. All the great people in the Bible struggle with temptation too. And you do also. And I do also.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.